Thank you for listening to an audio recording from the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative dedicated to preserving America's history through the timeless practice of oral storytelling. To learn more about the Tell Me a Story program, including how you can add your own story to the collection, visit MidwestGenealogyCenter.org/tellmeastory. On behalf of the Midwest Genealogy Center and Mid-Continent Public Library, we hope you enjoy the following story.
My name is Patty Cahill, and I'm the interviewer. And I'm talking with Mary White, and she's the interview me. Tell me why I'm interviewing you.
Because I'm a Rosie the Riveter.
And when were you the Rosie the Riveter?
I worked in Fairfax at North American Aviation. I left the country where I grew up because my boyfriends, my classmates, my neighbors had all gone to war, and patriotism was unbelievable, and I had to help the war effort. So I moved to Kansas City and got a job at North American Aviation, helping build the B-25 Mitchell bomber, and I soldered the wires in the instrument panel. I climbed a scaffold, and the only part of the planes I ever saw was the part I worked on. Mm-hmm. And when I finished, they would inspect it. I would get down and go to the next one all day long.
Where were you born? You said you were born in the country?
Yes, I was born near Bean Lake. It's just north of Weston, Missouri, in the country. And it was a wonderful place to grow up. I had a creek to play in. I had a forest to wander around in. And I love wolves. I was never afraid of them. And they never bothered me, and they were in the forest.
Did your family have a farm?
We had about 3 acres. We had a huge garden. We had a potato patch, we had a corn patch, we raised chickens. My dad had a workshop that was bigger than most houses, full of tools. He also had a steam engine and a thrashing machine.
Oh, wow.
And it was pretty thrilling when he cranked up a steam engine and it rumbled and shook the whole earth. I had a wonderful childhood.
How old were you when you left to come to Kansas City?
18.
Was that during the war?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And went straight to work there. Mm-hmm. I had to get a room in an apartment complex where my brother lived, or they wouldn't have let me come to the big city.
Older brother?
And, yeah. And the funny thing is, I was at 27th and Forest. And it was perfectly safe. We walked through the alley to get on the trolley to go to work. And then we had to transfer and we got downtown. Went across a big scaffold thing and got off and walked through the gates. You had ID to get through the big gate. And then you had ID to get through the door. And I think you probably know about that North American Aviation building. The way it was built, and I hate to say it, but I think they said 60,000 people worked there. That sounds just unbelievable. It was built of concrete and steel with no windows and air-conditioned.
Air-conditioning was unusual.
Nothing was air-conditioned.
That was unusual at the time.
And the roof looked like a parking lot. So it was camouflaged a bit, I guess. I've seen pictures of it. Very interesting.
Did you work with a lot of other people around you?
I worked alone.
Alone?
All by myself, all day long.
Was there a certain number of rivets or whatever you had to do a day?
There was a tremendous lot of wires hanging out of the instrument panel that had to be connected, and that's what I did. I connected those wires.
Was there a certain number of wires?
Colors.
Colors.
You connected I think, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. I don't remember getting any training. Some of the girls were trained to do their job. I already knew how to solder. My dad had taught me. And I think I just went to work, if I remember correctly.
How long a day was it for working?
I guess 8 hours, sometimes overtime. I really don't, my brain doesn't remember some of that part of the schedule.
That's not the important part.
Yeah.
The soldering's the important
part. Yes.
What'd you do afterwards?
You said they
let you go?
They laid us, some of us off, and they sent us to a place called Arion, which was also in Fairfax, Kansas. And they took us, and we worked top secret. I knew, you know, I can still vividly remember what the thing looked like, and I never could find out what it was. Nobody would tell us. And we worked on a conveyor belt. And I soldered wires again on this unit as it moved along. It would stop, and then that party they had for Rosie the Riveters recently, I asked if anyone in that room could tell me what I worked on at that place. And a man said, you were working on radar, and it was top secret. So I guess that's some of the first radar.
Oh, wow, yeah. Yeah, you saved some lives.
It's taken me all these years to find out what that was.
How'd you meet your husband?
When Arion shut down, I got a job at Sears and Roebuck in the big catalog department downtown, and I was figuring the bills that they'd throw a package down to me, and I'd figure the bill, what they owed or what we owed them, and set it up and get it ready to send out. And one day I saw my boss talking to a young man, and I said to my girlfriend, I'm going to marry him.
How old were you?
I think I was still 18, maybe going on 19. And I made sure, and then they put him to work throwing me packages. And his watch was bothering him, so I said, let me have that. I put it in my desk and locked the drawer. And when he had to go to lunch and ask for a watch, I said, well, I'll go with you. And to make a long story short, we started dating, and we got married in January. We got married in, I think it was 3 months. And everybody said, it won't last. You don't
know each
other.
And it's lasted for quite
some time. 71 years. And I got him at Sears and Roebuck, guaranteed her your money back.
Now, was he in the war?
Yes, he was in World War II, mm-hmm. And the occupation.
So he had finished up with the war when you'd come back to Sears and Roebuck?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And family? You've got some children?
Oh, yes. We have 3 children. We have 10 grandchildren and 24 and a half great-grandchildren.
And a half. I guess one's coming up, right?
I believe she's due, or he, next month.
How'd you feel about the war?
It was completely emotional and overwhelming because it involved my whole life at that time. All my friends went. You know, and I told you, my boyfriends went, my classmates went, neighbors went. I don't think the patriotism that was everywhere is the most unbelievable thing. It could never be that way again. I don't care what happens. I don't think there'd ever be that kind of patriotism. We had to give up a lot of things. They were rationed.
Like what?
We had to give up sugar. Silk, leather. They used the silk for parachutes. The sugar, I believe, I hate to say this, I'm not sure, my old brain is telling me. I think sugar was used to help build airplanes, but
wow.
It don't make sense. The you couldn't get hose, and of course everybody wore hose then, so you painted your legs. But nobody complained. There was a lot of food that wasn't available.
Yeah.
And leather was used for the I've forgotten what they used leather for, because you couldn't buy luggage then, because the leather was rationed. And I can't remember what they used it for now.
Well, did you have ration cards? Or
My mother handled that, so, you know, I don't remember. I know that when you went to buy something, you could only have a certain amount. And if you used it, and it wasn't enough to make it, you know, but if you used it, you were without, and nobody complained.
What kind of a feeling was there in the were you afraid? Was there fear? Was it just patriotism? What?
It was fear and shock.
Shock.
And just unbelievable that they could do things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it, I'm beginning to almost have that fear again now.
It is a strange time, isn't it?
Yes.
Do you have very many people who died during the war?
I had, well, I can't count them. I lost some good friends, boyfriends, some classmates, a couple of relatives. My sister used to do the genealogy.
Mm-hmm.
And she found in her searches that we have had someone in our family in every war that has ever occurred, all the way back for the first.
Where did your family come from originally?
My father was German and Irish. And my mother was French. And I think my father's family came from Germany, because their name was Kunrad, and then when they went through, when you come and they ask your name, they would just tell them their name, and the people would just write down what it sounded like, and it changed to Conrad. My mother's history goes back to the Count of Montgomery in 1905.
Hmm.
I mean 1805. So it goes way back.
What would your parents think of the war?
Oh, they just were very concerned for their children and for all the neighbors and for all their friends, and did everything they could to help. Everybody was that way. Everyone was just, I mean, you were consumed by patriotism.
What'd you do for entertainment while you were working, when you weren't working?
Oh, my girlfriend and I worked together. She worked in another part of the plant. And of course, you know, we were in the big city now from the country. And as soon as we got home, we'd go to Fairyland Park and ride all the rides. And then we'd go to the movies. All we had to do was walk through an alley, and there was a movie theater. And I still wonder at our safety then, because we walked through a dark alley at night after we'd get out of the movies and never be afraid.
You wouldn't do that now.
Oh, it's so different. My parents never locked a door. Ever. And no one ever came in our home and did anything bad. Us kids would play out in the road at night when it was pitch black, and the wolves were there. They didn't even bother us.
You've seen a lot of changes happen?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I know technology, here we are with a little tiny recorder talking to each other.
It's amazing.
It is.
It's amazing. I am frightened, because of my age, I am frightened with electronics now. I'm afraid they're going to get beyond me. I bought a new cell phone, and I really just wanted it for emergencies you know, to carry my purse. And I wound up with a computer, and I can't figure it out. I have a computer, and I do everything on it, but I can't work that cell phone.
Well, we've been emailing each other, which is great.
Yeah,
too. I know.
Oh, yeah, and I also am on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And I.
Oh, good. I'll friend you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a lot of the friends that are involved in. You know Dan Desko?
Yes, I do.
Yes,
yes I do. I've
you
met
know,
him
he
before.
Has done so much for the history mm-hmm. of World War II and the B-25 Mitchell. And I've met a lot of people through him. I did want to tell you one of the thrills. I didn't know that I was a Rosie the Riveter because I soldered. I went to an air show in 2012, and it was an intervention, I believe, because my husband and my grandson went the day before, and a gentleman called me, and he said, "My name is Bob, and I'm at the B-25 booth, and your husband left his credit card here." And I said, "B-25 a booth?" And he said, "Yes, what? And I said, "I worked on them." And he said, "You get yourself over here. I have to meet you." So the next day I went, and there sat the B-25 Mitchell bomber, the show me. And I just had a fit because I had never seen a whole one put together like that. And they got me aboard, and it wasn't easy because you have to climb a straight up metal ladder. Let me sit in the cockpit and see the instrument panel. And this was the pilot that was doing all this. And then Bob came back to me and he said, "Guess what? You worked on this plane." They oh. keep diaries. The government had them keep diaries on all of the war things that was built. And he could check the diary and see what time it was on the assembly line, and I was there. And they took me for a ride in it.
You got to ride in the airplane that you soldered the wires.
That I had helped build.
How'd that make you feel?
Thrill of a lifetime. Absolutely. And that was the day I found out I was a Rosie the Riveter. So I was pretty old when that happened.
Well, now, was this just a scam with your husband's ID, or was that real?
No, it really happened. That's why I called it an intervention.
Oh, yes.
It just had to happen. See? He had stopped there to buy a shirt because he knew I worked on B-25 and left his credit card. And the guy calls me.
So it was an interview.
I think so. It just had to happen.
More than a coincidence.
Yes. I feel that way.
And the ride was?
It was exciting. Everybody said, "Weren't you scared to ride in that old plane?" I said, "No. If it went down, I'd die happy." Very noisy. I can see why Colonel Cole is deaf, because that's a plane he, you know, flew in.
You said you had met him?
Yes. I'll show you his picture. I have it.
Where did you meet him?
At the air show.
Oh, okay.
He was at the, you know, they have an air show every year at the Olathe Naval Air Base. It has a new name and I can't remember it. And he was there when they invited the Rosies to come to meet him. And I also have his signed book.
Now, do you stay in touch with any of the other Rosies?
I did visit with one a few times. And I tried calling another one who didn't know she was a Rosie. Her son told me. And he said, "You call her. She don't know she's a Rosie." But he said, "From what you just told me, I know she was." And she didn't seem interested. She was, I'm one of the youngest, so they're all older than me.
Well, you said you were just 18 when you were working on the airplane?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and there were a lot of, now, talk to me about women working during that time period. Wasn't that unusual?
Apparently, because that's what made the Rosies come back, and that's what made them famous. They created a workplace for women. All of the men worked, the women stayed home. Women did not work. And when the men had to go to war, the women had to go to work. And that's what got it started for women. And look what they've done.
Well, have you continued to work? You said you worked at Sears and Roebuck's for a while?
Yes, and then I worked at Commerce Bank. I was a real estate agent for Crow Brothers, I think. And then we moved to the Lake of the Ozarks, and I got my own real estate company, and the interest rates went up to 18%, so we didn't keep it very long. But that was fun.
Mm-hmm. So you kept working?
I kept working, that. Yeah. And then we moved to Florida to retire, because we had gone there on vacation a lot. And we had a little house built, and we loved it there. I came back home. My sister was dying of cancer, and I came back home and took care of her. And
back home, Kansas City?
Yeah. And most of the time we had a wonderful time, and I had to go back to work. Retirement did, you know, the days were way too long. So I got a job working from 3 to 11 in a physician's answering service. And it was wonderful. I could get up early and go to the beach, come home, clean up the house, and, you know, go to work in the afternoon. It was wonderful and still got enough sleep. And but after my sister died, They held my job for me, and but when I went back, I said, I'm retired now.
So you left Florida?
No, we didn't for a long time. Our kids started worrying about us. I think we've been here 11 years. And they said, you know, you're getting old, and you're living in a place where you don't have any family. Of course, they came all the time, you know.
Florida,
we had a pool, you know, and I mean, we could go to the beach. And so we thought, well, maybe we should move back. And we don't see them as often now as we did then.
How do you feel about Kansas City then? It really is your home, and that's where all your children are now?
Yeah, no, my children, I have a son in Utah, and I have two daughters here, one in Lee Summit, and one lives with us, and we get to see our, and we have great grandchildren who are 21 and 20. I mean, that's just the oldest in them, and we have some that are pretty young. Our son comes to visit us pretty often.
How do you feel about getting old?
You know, it doesn't bother me. I have an attitude that if I die tomorrow, I die happy. And I know a lot of old people who are so afraid of dying. I've been blessed. I can walk, I can talk, I can see, and I'm 91 years old. I'm, you know, if he wants me, he can have me now.
You've had a long life with a lot of things happening in it, particularly the Rosie the Riveter.
Yeah. That's,
that was, do you feel like that was the highlight?
Oh, yes.
In a way?
I didn't know it, though, until they started talking about the Rosies. And mm-hmm. Then I realized that I had done something very important.
Very special.
Well, I felt that I was thrilled that I was doing that work, because I had to do something for the war effort. That's why I went there. And that part will always be special. Anyway, we came back here and bought this house. And some of our grandsons live nearby. And my daughter lives just a few blocks from here. That's why we bought this house. She's a retired teacher. And she's busy as she can be, and like I said, our son has, I think he has 12 grandchildren now. And each of his children have had like four or five. I don't keep track. It's on my calendar, and I remember all their birthdays. We are truly blessed in another way. With the size family that we have, they are all healthy. No one is ill. No one has any frightening diseases, and that just amazes me. So I told you, I'm blessed.
And you're doing well, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm accepting my ailments, and I'm just glad that I can function.
What do you do for entertainment now?
I get my cup of coffee when I get up, and I go to my computer. I play games. I write emails to some of my relatives and friends. I go on Facebook. I don't really like going out to movies anymore or anything. I've been there and done that, you know. My daughter and I do go every year to Sanibel Island and stay right on the beach because I love that place.
You said you were gone that week after we met.
And that was my favorite place. And I was a docent at the Shell Museum there. And I met people from all over the world, and it was a thrill. And now I can't remember the name of any of my shells. Had to throw that out and make room for something else.
I understand. There's like things in the back of my mind, and they just don't come forward.
I know. But do you, if you're writing a letter, and you're writing it for a particular reason, and all of a sudden the reason is gone, like on email, and you sit there and think, that's why I was writing the letter. Why can't I think of the subject?
I walk into a room and I think, why did I walk in here? What did I want to do?
Yeah, it's a great world.
You know, but it comes back to me. Well, now, is there anything else you'd like to talk about? Anything else you feel that people should know about you or you'd like them to know?
I was raised by a family that taught me all the good things in life. And I am a very empathetic person. I feel sorry for anyone who has any problem and would be happy to help them, if I could. I used to go to church, and I taught Sunday school. And I don't go to church anymore. And what I do is I go outside, and I look at nature, and I feel him closer to me there than in a building. And it's uncomfortable for me to sit for a long time. So I go to church in my yard.
It's a lovely yard.
Yeah.
So a lovely church.
That's about it. My grandchildren, another thing that thrills me, is my grandchildren are all studying about World War II now because their grandmother was a Rosie the Riveter. Mm-hmm. And they're very involved. And I've bought most of them one of these shirts.
And B-25 on the shirt.
Yeah, that's the one I worked on.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Says Missouri Wing, mm-hmm, Commemorative Air Force.
Yeah, that's a show me. That's one. Mm-hmm. And I have met, it has excited me that I have met some young people who found out I was a Rosie and have asked to have their picture taken with me and told me they are studying about that time period. So it's good that they have brought the Rosies back and the World War II vets so that the young people can get involved so that history doesn't die.
What would you like them to know about that time period? I mean, you talked a little about the rationing and about women having to work because the men were away. What, mm-hmm, what else is there about that? And
well,
and
the thing that's outstanding to me is the patriotism. Mm-hmm. I mean, we prayed and we pledged the allegiance to the flag and We did everything we could to honor our America, which we love so much. And that is gone. I don't think, even if we were at war, patriotism would ever be that high again. I don't think people could handle it.
Were you scared that the United States might lose?
Oh, we were frightened to death. And that's why we wanted to help. It's like the boys, they went, and if they were going to die for their country, they were willing to do so. And that's a time that I don't think will ever occur again, even if we have another war.
Why do you think that?
I don't know. It's just, I'm talking about now. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about Iraq and Afghanistan. My grandson was a Marine, and he was there. And his patriotism was very high. And once a Marine, always a Marine, is true.
Semper Fi.
Mm-hmm. So.
But now you think things are different? You think there's not the patriotism that there was?
No, I don't.
At all?
It makes me sad. I don't see it.
What do you think happened?
I think people are spoiled. I think they have had so much that they can't give anything up. That's what I've been trying to say in these comments, is we didn't have much in the country. We had a simple life. We grew our own food and made our own clothes. And people now have, what, they spend $400, $500, $600 a month for their telephone or their iPads or whatever. We didn't have anything like that. So we weren't spoiled.
They're spoiled and don't want to give it up.
That's right. They can't give it up. They can't be inconvenienced. And I also think the young people who are looking down all the time are missing the whole world around them. They will never be able to associate with other people who are different than them because they're not mixing with people. They're spending all their time on their iPad.
Instead of going out in the yard.
Yeah, or playing with a group of children and learning about the different nationalities and the different kids and different temperaments. They're not going to learn that. At least that's my opinion. Mm-hmm. I worry about their future.
I don't know what's going to happen in the future.
Well, it's kind of scary right now.
Not as scary as World War II.
No.
Yet.
Not yet. No.
Yet. Well, anything else you'd like to talk about?
I really can't think of anything else. I'm just so proud that I grew up where I did. And I had the patriotism and was involved in all this, even though it was a horrible thing to happen. I was so proud that I could help do something. I also, one other thing I did that was fun, I knew when the troop trains would come through. And I would dress up, and I would stand by the railroad track. And they always had the windows down in good weather. And I guess other people must have did it too, because the guys would hang out the window screaming and they'd throw me their pictures and their addresses.
And did you get some of them?
Oh, I wrote to guys all over the world, everywhere. One came back and threatened to kill me because he wanted me to marry him.
Well, that sounds like a good threat.
So
you wrote to a lot of men during the war.
Well, he was in, not Alaska, but some island where it was very isolated and very boring. And I wrote him a lot, and he wrote back. I spent time at the USO, and I met guys from all over the world there. They'd come there to dance.
That's what you did when you weren't soldering
wires? Right.
You go to the USO?
I believe this all occurred at the Playmore Ballroom, if I remember correctly. And we were there to entertain the soldiers that were passing through. And there was always music, and you could dance. And I met a lot of guys that way. Wrote to a lot of them and kept in touch. And then all of a sudden, you know, my, we were in love. And
well, you were 18 or 19, mm-hmm. so that was the right age. And so the men were about the same age, too, weren't they?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't remember when the war started. When did it start? 42?
40, I want to say 44, but that's when it ended. Yeah, 42-ish.
Yeah. So I was younger mm-hmm. when the troop trains were going by. Mm-hmm. And all the guys were gone. I mean, you know, there weren't any, unless they were 4F. And
they stood out.
Mm-hmm.
I would think. Okay.
That's about it.
Well, I think we're doing just fine. We've got a little over half an hour, 35 minutes. I want to say thank you very much, Mary.
Well, thank
for
you.
For your time.
Thank you. I'm flattered.
Well, I'm impressed. I really am. I want to be like you when I grow up.